KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, it's partly cloudy and 25 degrees in Atlantic. We look for sunny skies here today with a high in Atlantic of around 45. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with a check of the latest area and state news. Police in Council Bluffs say a 41-year-old man was shot in the face early this morning during an attempted robbery. Michael R. White of Council Bluffs arrived at Jenny Edmondson Hospital in the Bluffs just before 1 a.m., suffering from a gunshot wound to his face. Officials say White was treated at the hospital before being transported to the University of Nebraska Medical Center for additional treatment. Police say attempts to locate the suspect or suspects involved in the shooting were initially unsuccessful. Bluffs PD's Criminal Investigation Division continues to investigate the incident. If the suspect or suspects are found, they will likely face charges of attempted murder and robbery in the first degree. Authorities say a 14-year-old boy is charged in the shooting death of his stepbrother at their home in Kingsley, which is in northwest Iowa. The teen is charged with involuntary manslaughter and willful injury in the death of 17-year-old Kyle Badgerow, who was shot in the chest with a handgun on December the 9th. Plymouth County Sheriff Mike Van Otterloo said the boy was taken into custody Thursday night at his father's home in Royal. He was being held at the Juvenile Detention Center in Cherokee. There were two other people in the house at the time of the shooting, and they were not identified. Authorities are trying to determine who owns the gun. Officials of the Iowa Department of Natural Resources say a Muscatine man was injured early Friday morning from a self-inflicted gunshot wound while deer hunting. 51-year-old Steve Whitlow had just finished hunting northeast of Muscatine and was in the process of putting his gun away when it discharged while his hand was over the barrel, firing a deer slug through his hand. The incident occurred shortly after 5:30 p.m. Friday. Whitlow was taken by ambulance to the University of Iowa Hospitals in Iowa City, where he was being treated for what is believed to be a non-life-threatening injury. DNR Conservation Officer Tom Campbell said that hunters need to treat every firearm as if it is loaded and make sure the muzzle is pointed in a safe direction at all times. The Muscatine County Sheriff's Department assisted the DNR in conducting the investigation into that incident. Iowa lawmakers say they're bracing for a legislative session filled with tough negotiations over the state budget at a time when tax revenue is expected to grow, but at a relatively slow pace. Although forecasters expect tax revenue to be about $251 million more in the next budget year than in the current year, lawmakers still are left with some difficult choices because laws already on the books will push spending up by $313 million next year unless lawmakers make some changes. Adding to the difficulty will be a legislature that's split between Republicans and Democrats, ambitious goals for changing Iowa's property tax system, and election year politics. House Speaker Craig Paulson expects some struggles, but he expressed confidence that lawmakers could work out disagreements on top issues. With just over a week before Christmas, many Iowans are doing plenty of shopping online this weekend in hopes of finding the perfect gift for a loved one. Consumer advocate Carrie Gruby-Leibarker says before you make a purchase over the Internet, make sure you get information up front about the company that's making the sale.
Confirm the online seller's physical address and phone number. A lot of times we see people have complaints, but all they have is an 800 number, and it's very difficult to track down who that online seller was. They also need to know what it costs. Make sure that they're doing price comparisons, that they know what the shipping and handling fees are going to be, and what the return policies are.
Leibarker says you may also need to know if there's a time period in which to request a refund. Also, make sure to have the proper protection for your computer, especially if you're shopping online a lot.
Always have updated antivirus software and a firewall. Don't email your financial information to anybody, and we always recommend using a credit card when shopping online because you have more protections under federal law when using this payment method.
Leibarker cautions parents to make certain their kids know how to be smart shoppers online as well.
The parents should have parental controls inputted on the computer. Watching out for free stuff. You know, we often see these pop-ups that offer free games or ringtones or other downloads, and these can actually contain malware and put viruses on the computer.
She says you should shop online with businesses that are reputable and familiar, as well as those with whom you have made successful transactions in the past. The U.S. military formally ended the nearly nine-year-long war in Iraq this week. The war has had a heavy toll, claiming 4,500 American lives, including those of 49 Iowans. The financial cost of the war is estimated at $800 billion. Two members of the Iowa National Guard who spent time in Iraq say the work they did in the country was important. Captain Jared Parmeter and Sergeant Brian Feiler are both back at home in Dubuque.
Our job was very important. We supplied basically the western half of Iraq with fuel and food.
I certainly feel a sense of a success, if you will. I mean, the mission itself was to, you know, establish and maintain the legitimacy of the government of Iraq, and that's what we did.
Both men are members of the Iowa National Guard's 1st Battalion, 133rd Infantry. The unit served the longest continuous deployment of any combat unit in Iraq. Parmenter says he's proud of what American soldiers accomplished in the country.
It's very much a success story in my eyes, but I think that, you know, I would rather not gloat on Iraq and move towards something that I see, especially in the last few years, Afghanistan is a more pressing issue.
2 months ago, Filer returned home from a Texas hospital. Doctors had amputated his right leg from the knee down after he stepped on a lead in Afghanistan. Filer and Parmenter both believe it's important to keep the focus on the Afghan mission.
I mean, I would very much like to see the Afghan army, the police, you know, stand on their own 2 feet, be able to take interest in their own country to the level that the Iraqis seem to have.
Elsewhere in the news, a Polk County judge has refused to dismiss charges against a Fort Dodge businessman accused of making an illegal contribution to former Governor Chet Culver's reelection campaign. Judge William Price on Friday upheld the charges against Steve Daniel and his company, Webster County Entertainment. Barring an appeal, the ruling clears a way for a trial to begin January 23rd. Daniel, his company, and Curtis Beeson, a Davenport lawyer, are accused of donating $25,000 in another person's name. In Iowa, it is illegal to give or receive political donations in someone else's names. Those charged had submitted an application for a casino in Fort Dodge, which was eventually denied. Members of Occupy Cedar Rapids have dropped their lawsuit seeking to protect their encampment from city intrusion after moving locations for the winter. Attorney Robert Wilson said Friday the group dismissed its lawsuit seeking an injunction preventing city officials from seizing tents and other property. He said the lawsuit was no longer necessary after the owner of a vacant home offered to let protesters meet there. He said protesters will use a vacant lot to store some of their property and are prepared to return to court if necessary. The group sued last month after the city warned protesters to remove their tents and fire pits or they would be seized. The city claimed the accumulation of private property was illegal, but protesters said they had a right to be there. As their rivals look for support among Iowa caucus goers, Mitt Romney focused on early voting South Carolina and Newt Gingrich stayed close to home in Washington, with a little more than 2 weeks before the state starts the winnowing of the Republican presidential hopefuls. Michelle Bachmann and Rick Perry both continued their bus tours through rural Iowa yesterday, while Rick Santorum continued an all-in strategy that is one in the honor of spending the most time in the state, yet has not translated into support in the polls. Ron Paul, meanwhile, who has a loyal following among his party's libertarian wing, continued to build momentum and organization in Iowa. He does not have any public events scheduled here until midweek, though. Ahead of January 3rd's leadoff caucuses, caucus goers remain incredibly undecided, and most candidates are redoubling efforts before voters largely tune out the race for the week between Christmas and New Year's. Televisions in Iowa are already laden with political advertising, and the final weeks of the campaign are expected to escalate their frequency. And Steve Racci has announced that he's left the race for the Republican nomination in Iowa's 1st Congressional District. In a news release, the Cedar Rapids businessman said he must attend to problems with his business. Racci is founder and president of International Procurement Services. He said in a news release that he's returning the nearly $100,000 in remaining contributions for his campaign to face incumbent Democrat Representative Bruce Braley, but he was not leaving politics. After the redistricting, the 1st District includes Waterloo, Dubuque, and Cedar Rapids. Racci lost his 2010 bid for the Republican nomination to face Democrat Dave Loebsack, a representative. He also lost the GOP race to challenge Democratic Senator Tom Harkin back in 2008. And taking a look at national news headlines at this hour here on KJAN, the government is not shutting down. The payroll tax cut will continue, and the doctors won't be faced with big cuts in Medicare reimbursement for at least a couple of more months. The Senate is expected to take a final vote today on the spending measure, but a 24-hour stopgap bill is in place. The Senate also takes up the tax cut and Medicare bill today, which will then go to the House. President Barack Obama says troops coming home as the Iraq war ends can be enlisted to help rebuild the economy. In his weekly media message, Obama said the troops remind Americans that we are one nation. For the Republicans, Wyoming Senator John Barrasso said those returning troops want good jobs, and one place to start is approving a proposed Canada to Texas oil pipeline, which could generate up to 20,000 jobs. Defense Secretary Leon Panetta is the first Pentagon chief to ever set foot on Libyan soil. Panetta's visit today comes just after an 8-month civil war ousted Muammar Gaddafi. The UN, the U.S., and the Great Britain are unfreezing about $80 billion in assets blocked during Gaddafi's reign. And speeches and performances are expected to highlight events marking 3 months of Occupy Wall Street. Protesters plan to occupy a church-owned lot in New York City that was the scene of arrests last month. Church officials say they support the protesters, but the property is not available to be occupied. Taking a look at the funeral announcements this morning, Joseph Joe Frum, age 91 of Avoca and formerly of the Omaha and Shelby areas, died Wednesday. Funeral services for Joe Frum will be today at 10:30 at the Burmeister Johansson Funeral Home in Shelby. Morris Morgan, age 85 of Greenfield, died Tuesday. A funeral mass for Morris Morgan will be today at 10:30 at St. John's Catholic Church in Greenfield. Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield has arrangements. Janice Taylor, age 85 of Oakland, died Tuesday. Funeral services for Janice Taylor will be this morning at 10:30 at the Pauli Jones Funeral Home in Avoca. Lucille Kiergard, age 86 of Audubon, died Wednesday. Funeral services for Lucille Kiergard will be today at 10:30 at Our Savior's Lutheran Church in Audubon. Kessler Funeral Home in Audubon has arrangements. Nadine Ashmore, age 70 of Greenfield, died Tuesday. A celebration of life services for Nadine Ashmore will be this afternoon at 2 o'clock at the Greenfield United Methodist Church. Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield has arrangements. Delmer Curley Peterson, age 85 of Avoca, died Thursday. Funeral services for Delmer Peterson will be on Monday at 10 o'clock at the Burmeister Johansson Funeral Home in Harlan. 99-year-old Clara Hansen, who's formerly of Manila, died Tuesday in Florida. A massive Christian burial service for Clara Hansen will be Monday at 10:30 at the Sacred Heart Church in Manila. Odie Funeral Home of Manila has arrangements. Nadine K. Hansen, age 77 of Kimbleton, died Wednesday. Memorial services for Nadine Hansen will be on Monday at 2 o'clock at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Kimbleton. Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home of Atlantic has arrangements. And Marvin Lee Slim Cumming, age 79 of Menlo, died Thursday in Des Moines. Funeral services for Marvin Slim Cumming will be on Tuesday at 10:30 at the Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stewart. That is a check of our news and funeral announcements here on KJAN. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.